Time dragged, but somehow they survived. And the fourth day after the McQueens had been taken to the LaCroix Hospital, Dr. McKendry allowed Nathan and Vivian to spend a few minutes with them. Barnabas and Bess, in separate beds, were in the same room. Nathan wasted no time introducing Vivian, and after a glad welcome from Barnabas and Bess, Nathan questioned them.
Remember the big black Diablo that Yuli trained?
Yes.
He's never lost a race. On Sunday, June 4th, we raced him at Natchez, and every other horse ate his dust. A gambler from Shreveport, Rutledge Jackman, offered us $20,000 for Diablo, and we refused to sell. It ended in a cuss fight, with Jackman swearing he'd have Diablo. Four of them came after us, and they struck us just before first light. Two of them gunned down the dogs, while the other two came after us. First they shot me. Likely would have killed me, but Bess brained one of them with a stick of stove wood, and they went after her. That's when I blacked out.
It's well that he did. They tore my clothes off. If he'd seen him do what they did, hurt as he was, he'd have fought them, and they would have killed him.
You're both alive, and that's worth any sacrifice. They're going to pay for what they've done, along with Rutledge Jackman. Your horses will be returned, too.
Nathan, you've saved our lives, and that's all we have any right to expect. This is my fight.
Well, you're in no condition to fight. By the time you are, this damn Rutledge Jackman may have sold your horses or hidden them where you can't find them.
I must admit, that bothers me. The other three horses aren't quite in Diablo's class, but they have the potential. They represent 7 years of hard work.
Well, that's why I'm going after them. Is there anything more you can tell me about Rutledge Jackman?
Only that he's ruthless. God knows how many men he hires, and they may all be killers. I can't let you go up against such odds alone.
You have no choice. Besides, I work better alone.
You're not going alone.
Nathan Stone, she's a strong woman. You ride with him, my dear, and watch his back.
Barnabas, the doctor has already mentioned the law. Since you have no proof to support what you've told us, the law won't be much help. Anything you tell them now could point to you as a suspect when I'm done with Rutledge Jackman.
Oh, we won't be telling the law anything, except that four men shot and robbed us. We can truthfully say we've never seen them before.
Good. That leaves me free to use whatever manner of persuasion may be necessary. I know Diablo, but how can I identify the other three horses?
Well, there's another black that could be Diablo's double. The other two are chestnuts, and all four branded with a crown on the left hip.
I want you and Bess to remain here in the hospital for a few days, and when you're allowed to go home, lock your doors at night and arm yourselves. We'll return as soon as we can and bring your horses.
I don't know how to thank you.
You don't owe me any thanks. Any wrong done to my friends is a wrong done to me. Vaya con Dios.
Nathan stepped out of the room, followed by Vivian. Neither spoke until they had left the hospital.
All we know is a man's name and where he is.
I've hunted men with a lot less. We'll ride to Shreveport and have us a look at this Rutledge Jackman.
What do you intend to do beyond recovering the horses?
I aim to teach Jackman and his bunch the error of their ways. Those four who robbed and shot Barnabas and Bess won't ever do that again.
Shreveport, Louisiana, June 20th, 1877. The boarding house wasn't as isolated as Nathan would have liked, but within walking distance, there was a livery.
Which are we going to visit first?
I'm going to visit the Five Aces Saloon. You're going to wait for me here.
It won't be easy for me watching your back from here.
We're not in deep enough for that. It may be best if Jackman doesn't know we're together.
I've had saloon experience. I can always hire on at the Five Aces.
I don't think so. Somehow I believe Harley expects better of you and of me.
Despite her protests, Nathan left her at the boarding house and went looking for the Five Aces Saloon. The Five Aces could only be described as elegant. The mahogany bar was 50 feet long, and even in the early afternoon, three bartenders were on duty. There was a poker game already in progress, but that didn't interest Nathan. Three men sat at a table near the far end of the bar, and on the shirt front of one of them was a lawman star. The other two were well-dressed in town clothes. One of them beckoned to a bartender.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jackman?
The bartender broke out a new bottle. Nathan made his way to the bar.
I'll take a beer.
It allowed him a few minutes to study Jackman. It was obvious that he and the lawman were on good terms. Such information might prove useful. Nathan finished his beer and left the saloon. Supper time wasn't far off, so he returned to the boarding house.
Well?
I had a look at the mighty Rutledge Jackman, and he's drinking with the sheriff. That pretty well eliminates the possibility of us depending on the law. But his being on good terms with Jackman may work in our favor. Through him, we're going to force Jackman to lead us to the four no-account coyotes who robbed and left Barnabas and Bess for dead. Then, we're going to make it so risky that Jackman will try to dispose of the four horses stolen from Barnabas. When he does, we'll get the horses in him.
You make it sound so simple.
It's anything but simple. We're going to need a telegram sent from New Orleans to the sheriff here in Shreveport. I'm counting on him being aware of those four horses Jackman has, and I want him to know those horses were stolen from Barnabas McQueen. To really spook Jackman, this telegram from Barnabas will offer a $5,000 reward.
My God, how are we going to accomplish that? You'd need to talk to Barnabas, and it's a four-day ride back to New Orleans. Even if Barnabas agreed to send in the telegram, Jackman could dispose of the horses before we could return here.
We're not going to New Orleans, and Barnabas won't be sending that telegram. I have a friend in Washington, Byron Silver, who can arrange to have this telegram sent from New Orleans. But to reach Silver, I need the unrestricted use of the telegraph. The nearest access will be through Captain Ferguson at Fort Worth.
How far?
Not quite 200 miles. 2 days there and 2 days back. I'll have Silver delay the telegram until we've had enough time to return here. I'm counting on our friend the sheriff to make the connection between Jackman and the stolen horses and to warn Jackman. McQueen's signature on the telegram will tell Jackman that the varmints who took the horses bungled the killing of the McQueens.
And Jackman will lead us to the four who shot the McQueens and took the horses.
I'm counting on it. He may have the stolen horses at his stable, but he won't feel safe leaving them there. I look for him to distance himself from the horses as well as the men who took them. Where they go, we'll follow.
We'll still be up against four men.
Well, that's cutting the odds about as fine as they're likely to get. Jackman is the kind who might have a dozen or more hired guns. Our only chance is to force him to cut out the four varmints we want, along with McQueen's horses.
Then you'll settle for that? Leaving Jackman alone?
Well, I didn't say that. First things first.
Fort Worth, Texas, June 23rd, 1877.
I didn't expect to see you again so soon.
Nathan and Vivian had just arrived in Captain Ferguson's office.
I must admit there's a selfish motive. I need the use of your telegraph for a private talk with Byron Silver in Washington. I know it's asking a lot, and I didn't feel comfortable asking anybody but you.
I'm flattered, my friend. I'll arrange for the telegrapher to take off as much time as you need.
Vivian accompanied Nathan to the telegrapher's shack. Nathan began with 21, Silver's code, following it with the Washington address. When he was given permission to send, he tapped out a short message.
Request 21 be present. We may have to wait a while. I'm asking that Silver be present. This could get him in trouble with his superiors if they know what I'm about to ask of him. I want him on the other end of the wire before I send any details.
If it can get him in trouble, he may not agree to it.
Silver's a Texan. He's bent or broken enough rules to be sent to the federal pen for life. Why should he stop now?
They waited for almost an hour.
I hope he's there.
So do I.
Finally, the instrument rattled a message and Nathan took it down.
21 here. Stop. Identify yourself.
Nathan immediately sent a reply.
Stone, stop. Whiskey Ring, stop. St. Louis.
It referred to a government mission in which Nathan had assisted Silver, and it drew an immediate response. It took time to convey his request, and more time for Silver's response, which proved to be a series of questions.
It's taken a long time. Is he going to help us?
Yes, but he's offering too much help. All I need from him is to have that telegram sent from New Orleans with Barnabas McQueen's name signed to it.
After Nathan had telegraphed his answer to Silver, it was a while before the telegraph key again rattled a request to receive Silver's response. When it was complete, Nathan read the message with a frown.
What is it?
He doesn't like the idea of signing McQueen's name to a telegram without Barnabas knowing about it. He wants to send Captain Powers to alert Barnabas to the plan. If Barnabas agrees, then the telegram will be sent.
That's smart. For all we know, when Jackman learns of the telegram signed by Barnabas, he might send his killers after the McQueens to finish the job. It's the least we can do, warning Barnabas. Who is Captain Powers?
Part of a federal force stationed in New Orleans. Once, after Silver and I had been ambushed the day Yuli was shot, the McQueens took Silver in and patched him up. It was then that Captain Powers became friends with Barnabas and Bess.
You have powerful friends, Nathan. I'd like to meet this Byron Silver.
You may have the opportunity. One way or another, we seem to come together every few months.
The telegraph again chattered for permission to send, and Nathan granted it. Quickly, he took down the brief incoming message.
Powers being contacted. Stop. Fort Smith being contacted. Stop. Stand by.
I don't doubt Barnabas will go along with us, but why is he contacting Fort Smith? If the McQueens have left the hospital, Powers will have to ride out to the McQueen place. We could be here a while.
3 hours later, it came.
Barnabas approves. Stop. Message, 3 days. Stop. Marshal from Fort Smith. Stop.
Damn it, I didn't ask for help from Fort Smith. Why couldn't he just send the telegram and leave the rest to me?
I'm glad he's sending help from Fort Smith. I have a pistol, but I've never shot anyone. You could be up against four of Jackman's gunmen as well as Jackman himself. But how will the marshal find us?
He'll know we're returning from Fort Worth. He'll intercept us before we reach Shreveport. I've spent considerable time at Fort Smith, and I'm not unknown.
Nathan and Vivian stayed the night in Fort Worth, and at first light said goodbye to Captain Ferguson. Their second day on the trail, a few miles west of Shreveport, Empty turned back to meet them.
Somebody up ahead, rein up.
Another 100 yards and they would have entered dense woods.
Come on out, keeping your hands up.
Hands shoulder high, the rider trotted his horse into the open, and the westering sun glinted off the badge pinned to his vest.
Nathan Stone! Oh, it's good to see you again. Is it all right if I put my hands down?
I reckon. Come on.
You know him, then?
Yes, it's Mel Holtz. Him and me stood off a bunch of killers once. Mel, this is Vivian Stafford, sister to a friend of mine.
Partner, I admire your judgment. Has this friend of yours got another sister like her?
Vivian blushed.
There's a spring up ahead. Let's make camp and cook some supper. Then we got some talking to do.
Holt listened while Nathan unfolded the story, concluding with his plan to force the gambler, Rutledge Jackman, to lead them to the stolen McQueen horses.
If he leads us to the stolen horses, that's all the proof I need or want. You realize, of course, that we have to call on them to surrender and take them alive if we can.
Yeah, I've been behind the badge myself, but don't go getting your hopes up. This bunch will have 4 horses, no bills of sale, and 2 witnesses alive and able to identify them.
Whatever happens, I feel better having you here. Nathan would have gone after them alone.
I'm known in Shreveport. I'll have to remain outside of town until it's time to take Jackman's trail. When he rides out, look for me to the south along the Red.
Be there at first light. We don't know when that telegram will reach Jackman's friend, the sheriff.
I'll be ready.
Shreveport, Louisiana, June 28, 1877. Empty remained with Vivian at the boarding house while Nathan made his way to the saloon. For a Thursday night, business seemed exceptionally good, and there were 3 poker games in progress. Looking around, Nathan recognized none of the men at the tables. Several newcomers bellied up to the bar.
My money's on that big black gelding of Jackman's. It should be some race.
Yeah, but it's near 200 miles to Little Rock.
Gents, I couldn't help over here and talk about a race in Little Rock. And I'd admire to know when it's going to be.
July 4th, quarter mile. $5,000 purse.
Thanks.
Finishing his beer, he was about to leave when one of the house dealers knocked on a door beyond the farthest end of the bar. Jackman opened the door, the dealer entered, and the door was closed. Jackman was in town to receive word of the telegram being sent to the sheriff, and that answered another of Nathan's questions. He returned to the boarding house.
That didn't take long.
Mostly, I wanted to be sure Jackman's in town, and he is. But while I was in the saloon, I learned there's going to be a big race at Little Rock on July 4th. And it seems Jackman's planning to enter McQueen's Diablo.
Unless he gets slapped in the face with a good reason not to, like the telegram from New Orleans.
That's going to leave him in an almighty embarrassing position. I overheard two men discussing Jackman's Big Black, and that's how I learned about the race. I'd say from their conversation, the Black is a recently acquired horse. Almost has to be McQueen's Diablo.
If he's committed himself to entering Diablo in that race, how's he to know that Barnabas didn't send the same telegram to every sheriff in half a dozen states? What's he going to do?
Being a gambler myself, I'm counting on him backing out of that race in Little Rock. It's all he can do. And now he's got to come up with some way of disposing the four horses taken from the McQueens.
Without bills of sale, what can he do except turn them loose?
He might sell them in Mexico with no questions asked, but that's a long drive with no proof of ownership. Tomorrow I expect Jackman to lead us to the four horses and the four varmints that took them.
You don't think they're at his stable?
No. I think he's cautious enough to keep them hidden for a while. So he'll have to assign men to watch them. Who would be more likely than the four varmints that took them from McQueen?
I don't know. It's hard to disagree with a man who's right as often as you are.
Tomorrow, then. We'll keep our horses saddled and ready to ride. We don't know when that telegram's coming, so we'll have to be prepared at first light. We'll attract too much attention if we stake out Jackman's saloon, but I reckon we can keep an eye on the sheriff's office and learn what we need to know. If he's aware of Jackman's shady dealings, when he gets that telegram, he should head for the Five Aces at a fast gallop.
There's a cafe and a mercantile across the street from the sheriff's office. Between the two, we should be able to spend some time without arousing anybody's curiosity.
Nathan and Vivian had breakfast at the cafe across the street from the jail. It was still early, and there were no other patrons. The cook fed empty in the kitchen.
We can prolong breakfast until the mercantile opens. Then one of us can browse in the store while the other takes a rest on the bench out front.
I hope that telegram comes early. Waiting makes me nervous. I want this to be over and done.
Yeah, we won't be waiting too long. If I know Silver, that telegram will arrive within 2 hours.
Nathan's prediction was accurate almost to the minute. The clock in the courthouse tower was striking 9 when the telegrapher reached the sheriff's office.
We'll soon know. Now I'm nervous. If I've guessed wrong, Silver may put me down for a damn fool, and Holt will have ridden from Fort Smith for nothing.
They had been in the cafe having coffee while Empty waited with the horses. Nathan paid their bill, and they exited just in time to see the sheriff step out the door. He set out afoot, since the Five Aces was only 2 blocks away.
We'll walk, leading our horses. We want to be just near enough to be sure he's actually going to the saloon. If he is, after receiving that telegram, it can only mean one thing.
It was still early, and the saloon wouldn't open for another hour. The sheriff pounded on the door until it was opened. He then went inside, and the door was closed.
We still don't know if Jackman's there or not.
Well, likely it was Jackman that opened the door. Otherwise, I doubt the sheriff would have gone inside. He wouldn't likely reveal the contents of that telegram to anyone else.
If he does ride out, I just hope we can follow without being seen.
Not likely we'll be seen. There's some wild country to the north of here, mostly deep canyons and breaks along the river. When I was a deputy U.S. Marshal working out of Fort Smith, I chased outlaws through there.
Nathan Stone, is there anything you haven't done?
Not much. A few miles west of here, along the Red after it swings into Texas, I had a shootout with the Cullen Baker gang. I rode all the way back to Fort Smith full of outlaw lead and raging fever.
My God, you're lucky to be alive.
I know. Escape death often enough and you become fatalistic. I know that someday there'll be a slug with my name on it. Until then, I'm invincible.
Dear God, don't talk like that.
It took only a few minutes for all their suspicions to be confirmed. When the saloon door again opened, Rutledge Jackman stepped out, followed by the sheriff. Jackman said something to the sheriff, and he started back the way he had come. Jackman turned down the boardwalk in the other direction.
He's going to send a rider, or he's going himself. My guess is that he's on his way to a livery.
That proved to be the case. After Jackman had ridden away, Nathan and Vivian mounted their horses and followed. Once Empty knew they were trailing the distant rider, he loped on ahead.
We don't have to keep him in sight. Empty will guide us. Hold back while I ride downriver for Mel Holt.
Vivian rode on while Nathan turned south. He found Holt waiting, almost within sight of the town.
Jackman's on his way.
Without a word, Holt trotted his horse beside Nathan and they rode north. Within minutes, they caught up to Vivian and Holt tipped his hat.
Jackman's headed toward the river. I've lost sight of Empty.
He'll double back when he realizes we've fallen behind.
They rode on in silence, and the terrain became more rugged as they progressed. Empty loped back to meet them, and Nathan reined up.
Maybe he's found their camp.
No, he's just making sure he hasn't lost us.
Empty again took the trail, turning northeast toward the river.
The camp's somewhere north of here along the Red, likely some dry canyon with a runoff for water.
Empty doubled back again.
He knows where they are. We'll leave the horses here and continue on foot. Silver wanted you here representing the law, Mel. Take charge from here on.
With or without a badge, you think like a lawman? You know the rules. We'll cover them for two directions, and then we'll order them to drop their guns and show bills of sale for the horses. Besides horse stealing, there's a charge of attempted murder. I don't expect them to surrender.
Empty led them to the lower end of an arroyo that angled away from the river. There was abundant mud where the runoff from the Red had been swallowed by sand. Leading into the arroyo were many horse tracks.
You take one side and I'll take the other. We'll try and catch them in a crossfire from the rim. Wait for my challenge. If they come up shooting, then I reckon I don't have to tell you how to answer them.
Nathan crept along the rim, Vivian following. At first, the willows and undergrowth along the canyon floor kept them from seeing anything, but eventually they could see a clearing in which 9 horses grazed. One of them, a big black, Nathan recognized as Barnabas McQueen's Diablo. 5 men stood in the clearing. Nathan recognized Jackman.
Deputy U.S. Marshal, you're under arrest.
Just for a heartbeat, they froze, and then every man went for his gun. But Nathan, Holt, and Vivian had them in a deadly crossfire.
Come on! I'll need you to identify those horses.
You first. McQueen's 4 are branded with a small crown on the left hip.
Nathan and Vivian remained on the rim until Holt reached the horses and examined the brands.
You called it straight, amigo. Crown brands on 4 of them. Come on. We'll ride back to town and have the sheriff send a wagon for the bodies. I'm gonna demand an inquest. Call the 2 of you as witnesses and establish the guilt of this bunch.
Led by Mel Holt, Nathan and Vivian reined up before the sheriff's office with the 4 McQueen horses on lead ropes. The sheriff stepped out the door, his hand on the butt of his colt.
Sheriff?
Yep, Webb Haddock. What can I do for you now?
Maybe 15 miles north of here, there's 5 dead men in an arroyo on the west bank of the Red. One of them is Rutledge Jackman. The other 4 coyotes stole these horses in New Orleans, leaving their owners for dead. I called on them to surrender and they came out shooting.
Why? Why, you can't do that
right here? I can, and I have. I'm a deputy U.S. Marshal from Fort Smith and my authority overrides yours. I want an inquest. For the record, I have witnesses who will testify to attempted murder. The stolen horses speak for themselves.
Damn it! Mr. Jackman is
dead! And he had you to thank. After you showed him that telegram a while ago, he led us to these horses and the 4 skunks that took him.
I don't know nothing about no telegram.
I aim to visit the telegraph office. The telegrapher should be able to help you remember. Now you set up that inquest for 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm gonna report this incident when I return to Fort Smith.
With that, Holt turned away. Nathan and Vivian followed him down the street, leading the McQueen horses and seeking a livery. Holt put up the horses, using his funds to hold them as evidence.
We have a room at the boarding house.
I'll try and get one there myself.
Holt had no trouble getting a room for the night, and the 3 of them went to a nearby cafe to eat. They were down to final cups of coffee when Holt had a suggestion.
You have to get those horses back to New Orleans. Why don't you just drive them to Memphis and buy passage on a steamboat?
Tarnation, it's as far from here to Memphis as it is from here to New Orleans. That wouldn't make any sense.
It would if you entered Diablo in that quarter-mile race on July 4th. I can help you with these horses as far as Little Rock, and from there, it's not more than 100 miles to Memphis. I don't know how often the packets travel the Arkansas, but you might get a steamboat from Little Rock to New Orleans.
You're just trying to parlay this law business into a horse race.
You've rode behind this badge, do you blame me? It's all shoot or be shot, and no time for anything else.
I couldn't agree more. But who would ride Diablo? Certainly not you or me.
Why not Vivian?
Vivian? She doesn't
ride that well?
I was about to say that you don't know the horse, and he doesn't know you.
It's a good 200 miles from here to Little Rock. When we ride out, swap her horse to a lead rope and let her ride Diablo. If she can ride him that far without him biting off a hand or a foot, she'll be safe enough.
You're generous with my hands and feet.
I don't think so. It hasn't been that long since she had saddle sores all over her.
Nathan, I'd like to try it. Let me at least attempt to become friends with Diablo. If it turns out that he hates me, I promise not to go through with it.
We'll try it. It's the least we can do to bring a little pleasure to the dismal life of Deputy U.S. Marshal Mel Holt.
Sheriff Haddock arranged the inquest, Nathan and Vivian testified, and the case was officially closed. News of the killings had spread, drawing a crowd to the courthouse. The sheriff was nervous, and it seemed he wanted to speak in his own defense, but he kept his silence. When the procedure was done, Holt elbowed his way through the crowd without answering any questions from the curious. Nathan and Vivian followed his example, and with the McQueen horses on lead ropes, the trio rode north.
Haddock was as easy as a coyote among lobo wolves. Do you reckon he can keep the lid on all this?
Not a chance. Rutledge Jackman was a big man in town, and while he was alive, who would have questioned friendship between him and Sheriff Haddock? But now, all the little people who didn't exactly revere Jackman won't be thinking kindly of Sheriff Haddock. I doubt he'll run for re-election.
The telegrapher knows what was in that telegram he delivered to Sheriff Haddock. He should be able to add that to what was taken down at the inquest and come out with some answers.
Yes. If he has the brains God gave a goose, he ought to be roping free drinks for at least a year.
Now that we're away from town, I want to make friends with Diablo if I can.
They reined up.
We'll see how well he receives you before we swap your saddle.
If he accepts me, I'll ride him bareback. I've never ridden in a race before, but I've seen it done. The last thing we want is the added weight of a saddle.
She's got savvy.
As Vivian approached, Diablo flattened his ears, but the girl didn't hesitate. The horse stood his ground, and Vivian began stroking him.
He hasn't forgotten Yuli. You remind him of her.
To win over an animal like this, she must have been a special person.
She was. She trained him and was the first to ride him.
What became of her?
She was shot by a bushwhacker who didn't want Diablo to win the race, but she died a winner. Diablo beat them all.
It'll be a tribute to her memory if he can do it again.
He can. Look at her.
Vivian had her arms around the sleek neck of the big black, and when she vaulted onto his broad back, he only snaked his head around and looked at her.
My God, she doesn't even have a bridle.
I have an idea she's not going to need one. If she knows what she's doing, she can turn him with knee pressure.
Suddenly, from a fast gallop, Diablo wheeled and came pounding back.
By God, she took that turn like she was part of the horse. And I never seen a horse run and wheel like that. Vivian! Ha! They'll all eat your dust!
But Vivian said nothing. Diablo drew up without a command, and Vivian threw her arms around his neck.
I have never in all my life experienced anything like that. Let's get on to Little Rock.
Little Rock, Arkansas, July 2nd, 1877. After stabling their horses, the liveryman told them to go to Adderley's Mercantile to enter Diablo into the race. Reaching the store, they found a huge chart posted on the wall beside the counter. Listed on it were all the entries, some from as far away as Kansas City and St. Louis. At the far right was the owner's name, and Rutledge Jackman's didn't appear there.
Entry fee's $100. We aim to keep folks out that ain't serious. You can place your bets here, too.
Later.
How much are we going to bet on Diablo?
$1,000. Maybe more, depending on the odds.
I can manage 50. That's a month's pay.
Tarnation, make it 500. You'll never again get a chance like this. I'll loan you the difference, and you can repay me from your winnings.
Yeah, but suppose something goes wrong and we lose. I gotta owe you a year's pay.
We aren't going to lose.
No. Besides, we owe you for helping us recover McQueen's horses. If we hadn't found Diablo, we wouldn't be entering him in this race. So you deserve a chance at some of the winnings.
You're a muy bueno amigo. By God, I've never seen more than $100 all at once in my life.
What would you do if you suddenly had $5,000 in your hands?
God, I'd drop this badge like it was hot and ride like hell for Southwest Texas. Buy me a spread, pull some seed calves, get into the ranching
business. The morning of July 4th, Nathan, Holt, and Vivian returned to the mercantile. Now it was time to place their bets.
Thunderation, they got Diablo down at 20-1 odds.
That's because he's unknown in these parts and nobody's seen him run, and precisely why we didn't put him through any trial runs.
West Wind is the horse we have to beat.
There was considerable excitement when Nathan, Holt, and Vivian placed their bets, for Nathan had advanced both Holt and Vivian 500.
You folks must know something the rest of us don't.
We just like long odds. Will you have enough pesos to pay us if we win?
Oh, 10 times over. You wouldn't believe the money that's been laid out on old West Wind.
That good, is he?
Well, he's never lost a race.
Diablo's 15 opponents proved to be a formidable bunch. West Wind pranced about, draped in a fancy blanket embroidered with his name. The rest of the horses were no less impressive. Diablo was assigned to the 9th position, clearly a disadvantage unless he took an early lead. Nathan's eyes met Holt's. They said nothing, lest Vivian become more nervous than she already appeared to be.
Diablo's the only horse without some kind of saddle.
You have a definite edge, except for Indians. Not many can ride without a saddle.
It came time for horses and riders to take their positions, and no sooner had they done so than the starting gun fired. Before the echo of the starting gun had died, Diablo had taken the lead, and he never lost it. He thundered across the finish line 3 lengths ahead of West Wind.
My God. My God!
Vivian came galloping back around on Diablo and dismounted. Holt seized Vivian, kissing her long and hard. Men gathered around with questions about Diablo, and there was no escape. Nathan, Holt, Vivian, and Diablo were there for more than 2 hours. When they finally reached Adderley's Mercantile to collect their winnings, they were more well-wishers.
Except for the winners of a few dollars we're paying by bank draft, we had word the James gang might ride down here and rob us.
Diablo's purse goes to Barnabas McQueen.
The $10,000 draft was written to McQueen, while Holt, Nathan, and Vivian were paid individually.
Oh, I've heard of things like this, but I've never dreamed it could happen to me. Let's get to the bank before it closes so I can repay your 500.
Yes, I owe you two. I never dreamed there was this much money in the whole world.
I think we should take some of it in cash and a bank draft for the balance. You need a pack horse to carry it in gold and a company of cavalry to keep the outlaws away.
Lord, yes. I still don't trust Texas banks. I may leave mine in a bank in St. Louis.
Is that spread in Texas still on your mind?
Yeah, but now that I actually have the money, I'm wondering if maybe I won't come out better in Wyoming or Montana territories. There's so much land out there to be had, and I hear the grass is stirrup high.
I don't know about Montana, but I hear the big ranches are gobbling up most of the land in Wyoming's Powder River Basin.
Well, I got time to think. I might just take it easy for a while after I ride back to Fort Smith and turn in my badge. When will you and Vivian be leaving for New Orleans?
Tomorrow. Barnabas will be wondering what became of us. I reckon we'll have to ride on to Memphis. We've been here 3 days and I haven't heard the first steamboat whistle.
Occasionally there's one in Fort Smith, but I think they're government packets. It used to be the jumping off place, but no more. The railroads, the AT and SF, and the Union Pacific ended that.
Memphis, Tennessee, July 7th, 1877. After parting ways with Mel Holt, Nathan and Vivian stopped at the steamboat dock and learned that there would be a steamboat at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Nathan bought passage for Vivian and himself and made arrangements for their horses and the 4 animals belonging to McQueen to travel on the lower deck.
Now we have the rest of the day, tonight, and all tomorrow morning to see St. Louis.
What is there to see and do?
Frankly, I'm not sure. All the times I've been here, except for the last time, I was in some kind of trouble and left in a hurry.
What happened the last time?
Some distilleries, 2 of them here, were cheating the government out of whiskey tax, and Silver brought me here to help trap the distillery owners.
And you did?
Yes. The owners went to prison, and their wives wanted me to stay and run the distilleries for them, among other things.
You could have run the distilleries during the day and taken care of the other things at night.
I'm smarter than I look, thank God. Being a fairly sound mind, I saddled up and rode away, not daring to look back.
When we leave the McQueens, why don't we go to Washington?
My God, why?
I'd like to meet this Byron Silver. He sounds interesting.
Oh, he is, but he's got a woman. Maybe more than one by now.
I wasn't going to throw myself at him.
You might. He's a handsome brute, with more scars than me.
Is that all you have going for you? Your scars?
Just about. Oh, I'm a fair to middling gambler, too.
What are you going to do with the money you won on Diablo?
Eventually, I'll use some of it to win more. I reckon we can spend Christmas with the McQueens.
My God, that's 6 months.
I know, but I doubt they'll allow us to leave any sooner. After all, we have a $10,000 check for Barnabas, and we're returning 4 horses he might never have seen again. Besides, when he learns you can ride Diablo, he may never let you leave at all.
You really think he'll be that impressed?
I certainly do. I've never seen anybody ride any better than you did.
Not even Yuli?
Not even Yuli. I'm reluctant for Barnabas to learn what you've done because he'll never want you to leave.
You wouldn't stay in New Orleans?
No, for several reasons. One of the most important is that there are people in New Orleans who would like to see me dead.
I'm beginning to wonder if that isn't the case just about everywhere.
It is. I told you that's why I didn't want you with me. I draw lead like a lightning rod pulls lightning.
But you think you can last until Christmas in New Orleans?
As long as I stay out of saloons and gambling houses.
But can you?
I don't know. I can last only so long, sitting on my hunkers, eating and sleeping.
There'll be horse races.
I expect there will be. Diablo's a four-legged gold mine.
Barnabas will need someone to guard Diablo from thieves.
Well, you're suggesting that I become bodyguard to a horse?
It might be the safest thing you've ever done.
And the most boring. Do me a favor. Don't suggest it to Barnabas and Bess McQueen.
New Orleans, July 11th, 1877. It took a while to bring the horses from the first deck, but finally Nathan and Vivian had the animals on lead ropes and were on their way to the McQueen's place. Empty knew where he was bound and ran on ahead. Barnabas and Bess McQueen were waiting to greet them.
Let's stable the horses and then we have a story to tell.
It was near supper time when Barnabas and Nathan returned to the house, and the meal was on the table. Bess and Vivian were already acquainted, and Nathan introduced the girl to Barnabas.
I already know her. I was laying there with lead and fever in me, and I reckoned I'd died and gone to heaven.
You owe her plenty.
Nathan took the bank draft from his shirt pocket.
After we recovered the horses, we stopped in Little Rock for a July 4th horse race. Vivian rode Diablo and took the purse.
Well, then some of the money belongs to her.
No, we each bet $500 on Diablo. At 20-1 odds, that money belongs to you and Bess.
My God! I'd give it all to have seen that race.
It took a while to tell the story, and when Nathan was finished, the McQueens looked at Vivian.
Young lady, if you don't have other plans, I'd like for you to stay with us through the end of the year. There are 5 races coming up, and Diablo can take them all. Will you ride them?
I'd love to.
What about me? If I pay board, will I be allowed to stay?
We'll consider it. Actually, in October, I'd like you to ride to San Antonio for a pair of Indian-gentled horses. Are you familiar with the Lipan Apaches?
Yes, Yuli told me about them. They're settled along the Medina River, south of San Antonio. That's how Yuli gentled Diablo, with what she had learned from the Lipans.
Well, I had a friend of mine in San Antonio arrange for the Lipans to train these horses for me. Will you ride there and get them?
I reckon. Just promise me that when Diablo wins, Vivian won't be shot out of the saddle.
That sort of thing ended when you and Silver destroyed French Stumberg's gambling empire.
There was a race in Beaumont, Texas in August, and another in Natchez, Mississippi in September, and Diablo easily won both. In mid-October, Nathan prepared to ride to San Antonio.
I wish I were going with you, but I promised.
I know you did. Barnabas has a winning horse and a winning rider. I'll likely have to steal you away from him in the middle of the night.
Houston, Texas, October 22nd, 1877. Lonzo Prince, Roof Collins, and Tobe Shorp rode into town and left their horses behind a saloon across the street from the bank they intended to rob. The Cattleman's Bank wouldn't open for another hour. Who would expect a robbery at 8 o'clock on Monday morning?
Remember, no shooting. Nobody's hurt. They ain't likely to run us too far.
But Prince was dead wrong. When the outlaws escaped with $10,000, within minutes a sheriff's posse was on their trail. Collins and Shorp were wounded, and near sundown the exhausted trio was forced to hole up and rest. Lonzo Prince had taken his Winchester and gone to a rise to study their back trail. Instead, he discovered a rider who was approaching from the east. He rode toward the willows that surrounded the spring, and there was no way he could miss the wounded Collins and Shorp. There was no time for Prince to warn his comrades. He bellied down with his Winchester and waited. Empty reached the willows and doubled back. It was all the warning Nathan Stone needed. He crept toward the willows. Nathan could see two men, their heads on their saddles. But there were three horses. Nathan hit the ground, the slug nipping the crown of his hat. One of the men at the spring was on his feet. Nathan took aim. The Winchester slug tore into Nathan's back just below the right shoulder blade. Not knowing where the man with the Winchester was, he dared not move. Eventually, the bushwhacker would have to return to the spring for his horse. But Nathan didn't last that long. He blacked out. Lonzo Prince returned to the draw.
Sharp's dead.
He might not have been. What the hell was you doing while he was killing Shorp?
I got two slugs in me already, and one of them in my gun arm. You had a Winchester. Why didn't you ventilate the varmint before he cut down on us?
He was no Shorthorn. I had him dead center and he hit the dirt, but I cut him down while he was getting Shorp. We'd better mount up and ride all night. I'll go get the stranger's horse and you saddle Shorp's. That'll give both of us an extra mount, and that posse won't never catch up to us.
I've been wounded, and the one in my hip's still bleeding. I can feel the blood squishing in my boot.
That ain't near as bad as feeling a noose around your neck. Now get them horses saddled and let's ride.
Prince approached Nathan's horse. Empty faded into the brush, for he well understood the deadliness of a gun. When Nathan regained consciousness, darkness had draped its velvet mantle over the land. The numbness had worn off, and there was only pain. Empty was near, anxiously awaiting some sign of life. Nathan got painfully to his knees, and using his Winchester for support, struggled to his feet. He was all but consumed with burning thirst. Somehow, he had to reach the spring. When he reached the runoff from the spring, he fell belly down, burying his feverish face in the cold water. He moved just enough to get his face out of the water and again lost consciousness. The next morning, the sheriff and his posse reined up near the spring.
Well, there's the two varmints we shot.
Don't go getting excited about them. They purely ain't going nowhere. The third one's took the money and hightailed it, like they've been riding all night. Couple of you, see if either of them two's still alive. The rest of us will look for the trail of the one that's still running.
Lonzo Prince and Roof Collins had made no effort to conceal their trail. Sheriff Littlefield dismounted and studied the tracks.
Damn!
What is it?
Just as I expected. The varmint with the money rode out sometime last night. What I didn't expect was the tracks of four horses.
Sheriff, one of these coyotes is alive.
Sheriff Littlefield had to make a decision. Either they continue following a trail that was growing colder by the minute, or they take the wounded man and return to Houston.
There's rain on the way, and it'll wash out the trail. Simpkins, you and Jarvis double up so we got a horse for that wounded hombre. Maybe we can get back to town ahead of the storm.
While Sheriff Littlefield regretted not recovering the stolen money, he did have one of the thieves. The man who had escaped was well beyond Littlefield's jurisdiction, and he felt justified in leaving further pursuit to the Rangers.
Sheriff, I thought you said something about the tracks of four horses.
I was mistaken. One of them was an old trail. That outlaw who escaped with the money took the two extra horses with him.
The men rode away, taking the wounded Nathan Stone with them. Far behind, Empty followed. There was nothing more he could do. When Nathan awoke, he could barely move, for a heavy bandage encircled his upper body. He had no doubt as to where he was, for before him were the iron bars and heavy barred door of a jail cell. The last thing he remembered was returning the fire of a man who was shooting at him, and in turn being shot from behind.
So, you're awake, are you?
Yes. Are you the sheriff?
That I am. Sheriff Littlefield.
And I have two questions for you, Sheriff. Where am I and why am I in jail?
You're in Houston, Texas, and you're in jail for bank robbery.
Sheriff, I've never been in Houston in my life until now.
You're innocent of all charges, then.
I am.
I've been sheriff here going on 15 years, and I never yet locked up a coyote that admitted to being guilty.
What evidence are you using against me?
Three outlaws robbed the bank, and we wounded two of them. We trailed the varmints and found two men. One of them was you, and the other was dead. We got all the evidence we need.
I shot the dead man you found. He was shooting at me, and I had to shoot him. Then somebody plugged me from behind.
But you can't prove that.
No, but you could have. I rode in from the east, and you could have backtrailed me. I've been nowhere near Houston, and you could have proven it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Why didn't you?
Because I believe in circumstantial evidence. And we found you in an outlaw camp wounded. As for following trails, there wasn't no way. There was rain, and we couldn't track your partner. The varmint escaped with the bank's money, but they're all feeling better, with one varmint dead and you behind bars.
I want a trial, and I want to send a telegram.
Oh, you'll get a trial, but no telegrams.
Judge McClendon was a stern old man who listened to Nathan's impassioned plea without a change of expression. The trial was a nightmare, and the crowning blow came when one of the bank tellers swore that Nathan had been one of the three men who had robbed the bank.
Bailiff, bring him forward for sentencing.
His mind a mixture of dread and fury, Nathan was forced to approach the bench.
Nathan Stone, this court sentences you to 5 years in the state prison at Huntsville, Texas.
New Orleans, November 15th, 1877. Barnabas and Bess McQueen, along with Vivian, all sat around the supper table. There was a concerned air in the room.
Nathan should have returned a week ago. If he isn't here by tomorrow and we have no word, I'll telegraph my friend in San Antonio.
After the experience we had, I'm afraid someone may have stolen or tried to steal the horses from him. Perhaps he's hurt.
We ought to go looking for him. But we're only 6 days away from the race in Vicksburg.
Damn the race! I haven't paid the entry fee. Tomorrow I'll ride into town and telegraph San Antonio. At least we'll know whether he got there. If he was able to pick up the horses, then there could have been foul play on the return trip.
But the situation didn't wait until morning. Word came in a different form than the telegraph. When Barnabas opened the door, Empty came bounding into the kitchen.
Nathan must be coming.
No. Empty looks near starved. He's had to have been without food for maybe 2 weeks. That's how long ago something happened to Nathan.
Hungry as he was, Empty turned back toward the door, bidding them follow.
He wants us to follow him.
I wish it was that simple. On good horses, we're a week away from San Antonio. If Nathan's in trouble or hurt, we may not have that much time.
Then what are we going to do?
I'm riding to town today. I'll wire Byron Silver in Washington. He has the necessary connections to contact the authorities in San Antonio, as well as the Texas Rangers in Austin.
It's late in the day. Washington will likely be shut down until tomorrow morning.
Maybe, but I know Silver. Where his friends are concerned, he'll be there day or night.
When Barnabas reached the telegraph office, it was past 7 o'clock in the evening. Addressing the telegram to 21, Office of the Attorney General, Washington, D.C., he quickly wrote a short message.
Stone missing. Stop. Need help. Stop. Respond for details.
He settled down to wait. 45 minutes later, the instrument began to chatter and the telegrapher took a brief message.
21, awaiting details.
Barnabas rode rapidly, telling the little he knew and much he suspected, asking Silver to investigate the possibility of foul play by contacting Texas authorities. Silver responded in a matter of minutes. The telegram was brief.
Response late tomorrow.
Barnabas found Bess and Vivian anxiously awaiting his return. Quickly, he told them of Silver's response.
I believe you did the right thing. Nathan's called on Silver before, and since he hasn't this time, I fear that for some reason he's unable to.
That's what's bothering me. It's a hell of a temptation not to saddle up and follow Empty back to wherever he left Nathan, but we don't know what's happened to him or the circumstances. With the telegraph, Silver can accomplish more in a day than I could in a week. Chances are he'll have some answers by tomorrow, and he may be in a position to get Nathan some immediate help.
Washington, D.C., November 16th, 1877. Byron Silver was in his office 2 hours early. Quickly, he composed telegrams to the Texas Ranger outposts in Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. There wasn't a ranger in South Texas who didn't know of Nathan Stone. When Ranger Captain Sage Jennings was gunned down from ambush, it was Nathan who tracked the killer all the way to New Mexico, taking revenge for the fallen ranger. The Rangers had never forgotten and never would. Silver remained in his office watching the clock. The Ranger outposts in Austin and San Antonio responded first. They had no word, but offered help should there be need for it. Silver cursed under his breath as he read the response from the Ranger outpost in Houston.
Stone in Huntsville, stop. 5 years for bank robbery, stop. Suspicious circumstances, stop. If you do not investigate, we will. Dillard, Houston Outpost.
Silver's response was immediate.
Joining you for investigation, stop. Arriving November 24, stop.
Silver then prepared a telegram to be sent to Barnabas McQueen.
Stone in Huntsville Prison, stop. Suspicious circumstances, stop. Meet me at Ranger Outpost, Houston, November 24, stop. Investigation pending, stop. Silver.
New Orleans, November 16th, 1877. Bess McQueen read the message Barnabas had retrieved from the telegraph office.
My Lord, how could anything so terrible happen so quickly? It must have happened within a week of the time he left here, before he ever reached San Antonio.
Silver calls the circumstances suspicious, and I can believe they are, if he's coming all the way from Washington.
Nathan's been a friend to the Rangers for years. There's bound to be a Ranger outpost in Houston. How could Nathan have been tried and convicted without them knowing?
If there's a county sheriff or marshal, he would be more likely to take the trail of bank robbers. Texas Rangers would have bent over backward to avoid sending Nathan Stone to prison. That's reason enough for calling the circumstances suspicious.
I'm riding with you to Houston.
So am I. I'm not staying here, biting my nails and worrying.
Well, we'll close up the house then and leave the four horses at old man Guthrie's livery. He'll charge us twice what it's worth, but the horses will be safe there. We can leave in the morning and still reach Houston ahead of Silver.